Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this evening that you have allowed us to make it to another week. You have allowed us, Lord, to enjoy a day that we have never seen before, but you have also given us the opportunity to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus, proclaimed this evening. We're thankful, Lord, for this gospel meeting that you have blessed us to host since the month of May of 2020. We're thankful, Lord, for the many callers who join this line every evening. We're thankful, Lord, for the souls that have been saved. We're thankful, Lord, for the souls that have been restored. Thank you, Lord, for growing the borders of the kingdom in which you're able to reach more and bring others to Christ. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Brother Tommy Brooks. We pray, Lord, that the things that he will proclaim this evening, pray, Lord, that he have a recollection of those things as he expounds upon us the perfect will of your Son, Jesus. Pray, Lord, that someone listening this evening is seeking truth, and pray, Lord, they are willing to accept the message tonight as the pure and unadulterated word of your Son, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'd like to thank everyone for joining us this evening. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ in Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, the co-host of this nationwide gospel evangelistic effort. We are so glad you have joined us for week one of our February gospel meeting, where our theme this month is speaking about the same thing. All of our messages this week deal with faith, and tonight we have a dynamic, powerful speaker in the person of the host minister of the nationwide gospel meeting called Brother Tommy Brooks. But before we get started, we are thankful that you have joined us tonight. We're thankful for the many people who continue to support this gospel evangelistic effort. We appreciate everyone who takes the time to call in to hear the gospel proclaimed every single night. We believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. If you are not a member of the Church of Christ, this gospel meeting was put on with you in mind. In fact, our job this evening is to try to win your soul by you obeying the gospel. So please grab your Bible, make sure you have pen, and make sure you have paper, and make sure that you follow along with everything Brother Brooks will proclaim this evening. So tonight, I introduce to you and present to others the host minister of the nationwide gospel call, Brother Tommy Brooks. His subject tonight is speaking about the same thing, that faith cometh by hearing. Brother Brooks, tell us about faith that cometh by hearing.
I'll do just that. Thank you so very much, Brother Flunder. Always a pleasure working with you. Been a blessing to have you as my co-host, and Brother Stride as my sister minister, sister me with this program, all those who labor hard to put this program on. Thanks to all the preachers and elders and all those leaders who participated in our program since the month of May. And we're so thankful our listening audience tonight, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. We thank you so very much for being on the call. You are the VIP of our call. And we thank you very much, and we now ask you to open your Bible. Tonight I will try to talk about this topic that I've been given assigned, and that is faith that cometh by hearing. Now, here's the thing I want to do is be very basic tonight, and hopefully you can get the point. I want you to know that what we believe in the Churches of Christ, that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. Faith coming by hearing in Romans 10:17. So then faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I want to go back and talk about this text here in Romans chapter 10, where the Bible says there in verse number 13, where we started. I want to throw that thought about faith in Romans 10 and verse 13. This text here where we're talking about, Paul is speaking, the Apostle Paul. He says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then he says in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Keyword, believed and faith go together. They have not believed. How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? Faith comes by hearing, and they must believe what they hear. He said, how shall they hear without a preacher? So I'm the preacher tonight, and you're the hearer. And so in verse 15, he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. Now in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? In the verse 17, then says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what I want to talk about there, right there. Now, he said there is a report that everyone must believe. Now, simply putting this, we talk about faith. We talk about what do you believe? Where did it come from? Faith is simply belief. You can say, what do I believe? Did it come from your mother, like me, like with my family? I grew up in the Baptist church. All the people in the Baptist church were wonderful people. Wonderful people. But the faith, that belief system that I had as a young man did not come from the scripture. And so this is what we're talking about tonight. My belief came from my parents and from my grandmother and all those good people, wonderful people. However, what he says here, then faith cometh by hearing. My belief to be saved, my friends, must come by hearing, and specifically hearing the word of God. That's what he said. Now, let's go back to Isaiah, now, in the text where he said, now, he asked, Lord, who, Paul said, who had believed our report? What report do I must believe? What report do I must hear? What report will develop a faith that will save me? Now, Hebrews 11:1 said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And notice this, the evidence of things not seen. So there is a faith that one, to be saved, one must believe something that they never saw. Now, in Isaiah, this report, let me talk about this report for most of the call today. The report, Isaiah 50, I want to start at verse 50, chapter 52, and the verse is number 13 right there where I want to start. Now, most time Isaiah, when we look at this text, we go to Isaiah 53, 1. But I want to go back, if you would, open your Bible, Isaiah 52, 13. Well, Isaiah says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Now, I'm going to just give you this up front. We're talking about Jesus here, being on the cross. Now, notice in verse 14, as many as were astonished by at thee, his visage, key word there, visage, the visible appearance of him was so marred that more than any man, his form more than any and then the sons of men. Verse 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told, them shall they see. And that which they have not heard, there's a key word, they shall consider. There's something you got to hear that you never saw. Now, if you're on the call tonight and you really want to go to heaven, understand what I'm teaching you tonight. What I'm teaching you tonight is you have to believe in something you never saw. So the Bible teaches us something that we will never see with our own eyes, but we must believe it because we read it. Now, here comes the report in Isaiah chapter 53, and the verse is number 1. I'm coming back to Isaiah 52 to the visage. I'm going to hit that here shortly. But here's what Isaiah the prophet said. Who had believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is that report he's talking about. Who's going to believe this? Who's going to believe this without seeing it? Only a few people will believe this report. I'm going to tell you that up front. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many would go that way. And he said, but few will find the straight and narrow way. Now, here's the thing. God has revealed a report that few will believe. Few will have the faith that will come by hearing, and that is the word of God. So you got to believe what you read in order to be saved. Now, what in verse number 2, he said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should not desire him. He's talking about Jesus. From Isaiah 52, verse 13, he's still talking about the report. Is about Jesus. He is despised, he says, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Men today are still rejecting this Jesus. In verse number, Isaiah says, "We hid his face from our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Man today is turning his face and looking the other way, as if Jesus, the Son of God, never died. Here come the report. Oh, this is the report. He said, "Surely he had borne our grief." Verse 4. "And carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." We're talking about Jesus still. Verse 5. "But he was wounded." He was wounded. Here we go. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed." What are you doing, Brother Brooks? I'm showing you the report that every woman, man, boy, or girl that's going to be saved must believe without ever seeing it. Why? Faith is coming by hearing. And this reading, well, reading tonight is the Word of God, and you must believe what you read, and you must believe it and hear it with your ears. But he was wounded. He was bruised. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, by, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, right here in Isaiah 52, he says his visage, his visible appearance was so marred. Well, this is where they took Jesus and they stripped him naked, and Pilate had him scourged. Now, those of us in America have never seen with our eyes a scourging. A scourging is when someone is whipped with a whip. The whip is called a flagellum. The whip is called a cat of nine tails. It got metal bones and fragments at the end of the whip. So they took Jesus. The report says that we read that they took Jesus and they scourged him. They hit him with that whip. And when that whip wrapped around his body, the bones and metal fragments would dig into our Lord's body and rip the skin from his bone, leaving stripes all around him. And by his stripes are we healed, meaning the blood that came from Jesus' stripes, from the whipping. He was so whipped so bad that the visible of the visage, the image, the visible appearance of him was so marred that men and women could not recognize him. This is how bad they beat Jesus. But the report said he was wounded for our transgression, our wrongs, our mistakes, our sins. He did no wrong. He knew no wrong. He was bruised for our iniquity. Our breaking the law of his father without authority, doing whatever we want to do in religion. He went there for us because we would do what we want to do. But the report said his body was wounded and bruised from the beating and cruel treatment. His stripes, the blood came from his stripes. Now, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray, have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all." He took it all for us. All of us are guilty. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have gone astray. All go our own way from time to time. But God, because he so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. God laid our iniquity on his Son, our wrongdoing, and on him, and treated his only Son as if he by himself was guilty, my friends, of all of our sins. This is the report that will save a man or woman who can believe it without ever seeing it. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Isaiah, the report said he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't complain. He was oppressed, meaning he suffered mentally, physically, and spiritually, but he didn't complain. He was afflicted. This means he took the pain, but he didn't complain. He was innocent as a little lamb going to a slaughter, dying a cruel death by crucifixion. He was like a sheep dumb, not knowing before the shearer who would cut off all the sheep wool of clothing, but he didn't complain. Like Isaiah, I ask tonight, Lord, who will believe the faith that cometh by hearing? Who will believe this report in the listening audience of the thousands that are listening to me tonight, the preacher of the gospel, who has believed the report of the preachers who will bring this report to a lost and dying world? Isaiah asked, and I ask, Lord, who's going to believe tonight this report? This report that requires a faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. Verse 8 says, he was taken from prison from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Isaiah says, for the transgression of the people, it was us that he was afflicted, he was stricken. And he said he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. But verse 10 said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Why did he do it? What is this report all about? This report is to the world. John 3:16, God so loved the world, it pleased God the Father to bruise his only son. It pleased God the Father to put his son to grief. It pleased God the Father for his only son to offer his soul for our sin. He was a sacrificial lamb for us. That's why John, when he seen him come, and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taken away the sins of the world. Why did God do this? What is this report is all about? It's a report of love. That God so loved you, my friend, that he gave his son. And this is what his son went through. Isaiah's report. Who going to believe this report? Paul asked that. Who will go believe it? He shall see the travail of his soul. Verse 11. And shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify me? For he shall bear their iniquities. I want y'all to know something. If any of you got a child, I want you to think about the Father, God the Father, who watched him. He saw and was satisfied with his son's travail, the pains and suffering that his son went through. He said, this is my beloved son of whom I'm well pleased. Why did he do it? To justify us. To justify us. To declare us not guilty of sin in his eyes. Therefore, Isaiah says, I will divide his portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressions. You know those that are the thieves, right? And he bore the sin of men and made intercession for the transgression. Now he's honored with great and strong. He's King of kings and all of Lord. He stood the test and passed by, pouring out his soul and being numbered with two thieves. What did he do? What is this report all about? He bore the sin of many, mine and yours and your mama and my mama and my daddy and your daddy. He made intercession for the transgression. Here is his intercession for us. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I ask, like Isaiah, who's going to believe this report? This report has to be believed by one who reads, who believes the report of faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Back to Romans 10:17. That's what Paul was talking about there. Faith comes by hearing, and hear by the word of God. If you've never heard this gospel story, this story, Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What is the power of God? This one single fact that it, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. What is the power of God? The preaching of the cross, that men and women can hear that God so loved them that he gave his son, and his son would die on that cross without you ever seeing it with your own eyes. You have to believe that God was there, that Jesus was on that cross. You have to believe that he cried in the Garden of Gethsemane. You never heard him. You wasn't there. You have to believe that he was led before in six trials at night. You have to believe that he stood before Pilate, but you never saw it. You have to believe that they beat him with the whip, but you never saw it with your own eyes, because faith cometh by hearing. You have to believe that they put the crown of thorns on his head, but you can't believe it by seeing it, because faith cometh by hearing and by the word of God. You have to believe that they put the tree of the cross on his back. They led him to Calvary. He couldn't make it to Calvary, but you got to believe there was a man of a serene salmon by name. They called him. Him they compelled to carry the cross. Jesus could not carry his own cross all the way to Calvary. He had to have some help. But you can't believe this just because you didn't see it. You have to believe it, because faith and disbelief coming by hearing it from the word of God. They got him on Calvary. They drove nails in his hand. Your faith would come because you never saw him with the nails in his hand. You never saw the soldier drive the nails in his feet. Your faith would come in by hearing it from the word of God. Your belief that Jesus was on the cross comes because it's written in the word of God. They hung him there with nails in his hands and his feet. He hung for 6 hours. You won't know that unless you read the word of God. 6 hours on the cross, he would hang for you and I. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Can I take you there tonight through the preaching of God's word, that you believe Jesus hung on the cross? That faith can only come by hearing. And no one in America has ever seen a crucifixion. For the preaching of the cross is required to save a man, woman, boy, girl. I can preach the word. Joel Osteen preached the word. T.D. Jakes preached the word. Everyone preached the word. But the same, Paul said this. And 1 Corinthians 1:14, I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Does any should say I baptized in my own name? He says this, and drop down to verse 17 for the time to say, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Watch this now. Not with wisdom or word. What I'm trying not to do, I'm not trying to be fancy tonight. He said, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. For the preaching, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Everyone needs to listen to this. For the preaching of the cross is the report that the world has to hear. We have to hang him on the cross in order to develop a faith that will save the world. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God is in the report of the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection. I consider myself a preacher of the cross. So when you hear the cross story, it should prick your heart. Let me close with a story I want you to hear. There's a story of a man, a wealthy man, and his only son. They loved to collect rare works of art. They had everything in their collection, from Picasso to Raphael. They would often sit together and admire the great works of art. And when the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went to war. He was very courageous and died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified that his only son had been killed, and he grieved deeply. About a month later, there was a knock at the father's door. A young man stood at the door with a large package in his hand. He said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I am the soldier for whom your only son gave his life. He saved many lives that day. He was carrying me to safety when a bullet struck him in the heart and he died instantly. He often talked about you and your love for art." The young man held out his package. "I know this isn't much," he says. "I'm not really a great artist, but I think your son would have wanted you to have this." The father opened the package. It was a portrait of his son, painted by the young man. He stared in awe at the way the soldier had captured the personality of his son in the painting. The father was so drawn to the eyes that his own eyes welled up with tears. He thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. The man said, "Oh, no, sir," said the young man. "I could never repay what your son did for me. It's a gift." The father took the painting, the portrait, and hung it over his fireplace. And every time visitors came to his home, he took them to see the portrait of his only son before he showed them any of the other great works of art he had collected. The father died 2 months later. There was a great auction of his paintings. Many influential people gathered, excited over seeing the great paintings and having the opportunity to purchase one of their collection. On the platform sat the painting of the son. The auctioneer pounded his gavel. "We will start the bidding with the picture of the son. Who will bid for the picture?" There was silence. Then a voice in the back of the room shouted, "We want to see the famous painting. Skip this one." But the auctioneer persisted. "Will someone bid for the painting? Who will start the bidding? $100, $200. Another voice shouted angrily, "We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see the Van Goghs and Rembrandts. Get on with the real bids," they said. But still the auctioneer continued, the son, who will take the son?" Finally, a voice from the very back of the room. It was a longtime gardener of the man and his son. The old man said, "I'll give $10 for the painting." He said, being a poor man, it was all he could afford. "We have 10, the auctioneer says. "Who will bid 20? "Give it to him for 10, called an angry voice. "Let's see the master. Let's see the Van Goghs and the Rembrandts. $10, the auctioneer said, "is the bid. Won't someone bid 20? The crowd became very angry. They didn't want the picture of the son. They wanted the more worthy investments for their collection. At last, the auctioneer pounded the gavel. "Go on once. Go on twice. Sold for $10. A man in the second row shouted, "Okay, it's sold, so let's get on with the rare collection." The auctioneer laid down his gavel. Said, "I'm sorry. The auction is over." They said, "What about the painting? What about the rare painting? What about the collection?" The auctioneer said, "I'm sorry. You see, when I was called to conduct this auction, I was told of a secret stipulation in the will. I was not allowed to reveal that stipulation until this time. The stipulation reads, only the painting of the son would be auctioned. And whoever bought that painting would inherit the entire estate. The son, who would take the son tonight? Faith coming by hearing. And you have to hear by God's only son. And whoever take the son will get the entire estate. In other words, only when you believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died for you and suffered on that cross for you, will you be baptized. Because faith coming by hearing. And Jesus said, if any man will hear these words of mine, I will liken unto him as a wise man. They took Jesus off that cross, buried him in a borrowed tomb. And early on Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hand. He said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what I preach tonight. To preach the gospel is to preach the cross. That Jesus hung and died to preach the blood that will wash your sins away in baptism. If you believe in Jesus, then you'll believe in baptism. Because baptism is in the same word. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. My friends, if you're on the call tonight, there are going to be many people who will be lost because they did not hear the word of God. They did not believe what was written in the scripture. My friends, my family, many of my loved ones who will not be saved because they don't believe the scripture. That's because they can't have a faith that will save them. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name done many wonderful works. Jesus said in verse 23, I will confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, will do it them. I will liken unto him as a wise man. who built this house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone to hear it, these sayings of mine, and do it not, them not, shall be like unto a foolish man who built this house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, my friends, beat upon that house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it. Why did it fall so great? For they did not believe what they heard from the Word of God. Faith, belief that saves, comes from the Word of God. If you're on the call tonight, my question is, will you believe the report that you heard without seeing it? Will you believe that Jesus hung on that cross and died for you? Will you be baptized as he commanded in Mark 16:15-16? And Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He built his church. Paul recorded that church is the Romans 16:16. He says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. In Acts 2:47, the Bible says praising God and having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. My friend, listen carefully. You got to believe the Bible is right over you and your mom and your grandmother and your grandfather, like I had to do. Believe this gospel story tonight that I talked about. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. You must make that confession as recorded in Acts 8:37. He confessed that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. After that, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and the verse number 38. In baptism, you contact the blood of Jesus, which came from the stripes. Do you believe the report? That same blood will wash your sins away, Revelation 1:5, Acts 22 and the verse 16. Ananias told the apostle Paul, who was known as Saul, the chief of sinners, he says, why tarriest thou? Be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You cannot call on the name of the Lord till you heard the gospel, believed it, repent of your sins, confess Jesus be the Son of God before me, and be baptized in the Lord. We'll wash your sins away in baptism and add you to the church. What am I teaching tonight? Faith that believes. Faith and belief that will save will be faith that coming by hearing the Word of God. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Let me make it real clear. Let me be clear. I don't want to stand with you on judgment. You say, I didn't know. I'm telling you. You say, Brother Brooks, are you saying I got to be baptized? Yes. Are you saying there's only one church? Yes. Are you saying that church is the Church of Christ? Yes. Are you saying the saved only in the Church of Christ? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And faith that comes from the Word of God will save you. But faith that comes from your own belief, coming from somewhere else, other than the Word of God, you cannot be saved, my friend. More on faith this week, if you're on the call tonight. Brother Flunder is going to tell you how to get in touch with me if you have questions. I would love to study with you. If you need to know more, remember what I'm talking about tonight is a faith that comes by hearing. And until you hear and believe this report, my friends, you will never be saved. Brother Flunder.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. We appreciate that powerful message tonight. We hope that if you've been listening, you have heard something that has pricked your heart. We hope that you have heard something that you have heard and understood completely what is required of you to be saved. Yes, Brother Brooks preached this evening Jesus. He put him on the cross. He gave you those facts of the gospel that are necessary for one to believe in order to be saved. He extended to you heaven's invitation and explained to you what is required of you to be saved this evening. And if you are someone who chooses to be saved tonight, or if you have a question about what Brother Brooks has proclaimed, you can get in touch with him at area code 281-750-2702. Again, if you want to get in touch with Brother Brooks, that's area code 281-750-2702. Or if you would like to get in touch with me, my phone number is area code 806-787-2564. You can call us and we will do our very best to accommodate you. We will give you a Bible question to a Bible answer to a Bible question. So please take heed to what Brother Brooks proclaimed this evening. And we hope that you've been studying along in your Bible so that you can see for yourself if what he preached tonight is the truth. We believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. We believe that Jesus died for and purchased only one church, the Church of Christ. On tomorrow night, you'll hear from Brother Derek Green from Houston, Texas. He'll be speaking on this same subject of faith with the One Faith. This week, all of our subjects deal with faith. Our theme this month is speaking about the same thing. Every subject this week is going to have a similar theme week, and we promise that every preacher from the Church of Christ is going to preach the same thing, just as the Bible commands all men to do, to speak the same thing. We are so glad you have joined us tonight. We appreciate Brother Brooks for that message. We hope that you come back tomorrow evening to hear Brother Derek Green from Houston, Texas, speak on the One Faith. At this time, if you can pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for tonight and for the blessing of the gospel. We are thankful, Lord, that even now, February 1st, 2021, that you have blessed us to have the gospel at our disposal and to take the great commission you have given unto us and to share that commission to a lost and dying world. We are thankful, Lord, that your patience and your long-suffering continues to abound, and are thankful, Lord, for the chance this evening for others to hear the gospel. We pray, Lord, there was someone on the line tonight who is seeking the truth. We thank you for placing Brother Brooks in their path to proclaim the truth to them this evening. We pray, Lord, as we continue to host this call, that you continue to bless us. Pray, Lord, that the technology we use can continue to work properly so that others can hear. We pray, Lord, that you continue to allow this grow, this call to expand and to grow, and so that many more lost souls can hear the gospel before it is eternally and lasting too late. Be with Brother Brooks. Bless his ministry. Bless the congregation where he preaches. Bless every person who is on the line, Lord. We pray that you give us another opportunity on tomorrow evening to teach the gospel. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us until we meet again at this appointed time at 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. In your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you, and to God be the glory. Good evening.